And I think it's interesting too, because now we're touching upon a whole different like subject too, in regards to like roasting, for example.
Yeah.
So for people who may be listening, who are like, what really, now that we just described the barista's kind of role mm-hmm. and position, what would you say the role and position of a roaster is?
Yeah.
You know, to you.
To me, right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, it's about roasting coffee so that you can extract the flavors that are just embedded into the seed. And just trying to bring out the qualities that it has. That was the thing that blew my mind, was when I had these coffees, just straight black coffee, specialty coffee, that just smelled like berries, tasted like a handful of berries and cream. I'm like, there's nothing added to this.
Yeah.
Blew my mind mm-hmm. that you could just roast it and get the flavor.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I really want to go for. I really want to, again, I love cooking.
Yeah.
So to be able to get this down and to perfect it and have yeah. these different recipes and stuff like that to bring out the best possible flavors from a bean, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. And I remember, I love this documentary. It's a film about coffee. Mm-hmm. I love it. But because I just think it captures a lot in its simplest form mm-hmm. to for people who might not be in the industry to like find out. But I forgot who it was. It was one of the ex like world barista champions, but he says, and I'll quote, like, no one's adding flavor to coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, no one's adding any flavor. Mm-hmm. Our job, that from the moment it's picked from the tree, yes. right? Is just not to mess up what's yeah. already there.
Yeah.
You know, we can only take away flavor. We're never adding flavor, yep. if that makes any sense.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I think that's so fascinating because, like, you know, most people probably, like, when they think of the best roasters in the world, mm-hmm. you know, from a public point of view, they're probably yes. like, oh, it's the person who's, like, adding the most flavor mm-hmm. to the beans. You know, they're adding, oh, they're the ones who added the notes, blueberry. Like, yeah. you know, the yeah, people yeah. at Heart Coffee, you know, added blueberries into added, the whole process, yeah. you know, when in reality, it was them just preserving. It's a preservation, that's I great, would say, yeah. mm-hmm. rather than extraction. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think roasting personally is like preserve. Same with being a barista. I mean, I you know what blows my mind every day, dude, is especially when you're dialing in shots.
Yes.
You know, 1 second too long.
Yeah.
1 second too short, mm-hmm. and you've lost preservation of yeah. the flavor. You yeah. know, you're not preserving the flavor. You actually mm-hmm. have ruined some of the flavors. You're hiding yeah. some of the flavors. Same mm-hmm. with how many grams go in and out. You made pour overs right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, your margin of error, of course, is a lot smaller, but you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things, though, where, like, you could still mess up a pour over.
Very easily.
Still, yeah, yeah. you know? And it's just about preserving the flavors that's already there.
It is, yeah.
Now, do you believe in, because one thing we talked about was dark, medium, light.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Do you believe in dark, medium, light roast as indicators for like to put on bags, or would you rather see some other forms?
Other forms,
like Onyx instead of doesn't do dark, medium, light. They do yeah. modern to traditional.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
A couple of them don't even put like modern to traditional. They'll literally say sweet to like acidic.
Okay.
Or bitter. They'll do yeah. like sweet to maybe a little bit more. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, yeah, And I think with all of those, I think they're catering to more specific people.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with dark roasts. There's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with traditional roasts.
Yeah.
That's the nostalgia that people, a lot of the older generations will have with coffee.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what the majority of the time when people come in, I just want a drip. They're looking for kind of like a nostalgia flavor.
Cup of Joe.
Cup of Joe, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And And so, you know, modern to traditional, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It might not make sense to somebody who's in an older generation. It'll make sense to us because, oh, it's modern.
Yeah.
What's traditional? It's what was back then.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's totally things that you could go in a completely different directions with it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with any of those spectrums.
Okay.
Because all you're doing is just, you're just describing what you're getting.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a right and wrong with that.
Well, I would say, would you, because how many of specialty coffee roasters nowadays actually roast dark, would you say?
I would say, it's not something that is highlighted.
Yeah.
When it comes to dark roasts.
Yeah.
It's not something that's highlighted in specialty coffee.
Right. Would you say majority of them would roast light. Medium light?
Medium to light. Yeah. Right? It is, yeah.
And I think that's my only, like when you hear, like, dark, medium, light now, mm-hmm. I'm like, I think it's going to become a term that is no longer relevant, because I don't know how many specialty coffee roasters actually roast to a dark standard.
Yeah, and unless they are roasting with Robusta.
Yeah.
Right? You don't see Robusta a lot. But when you do, it's more on the darker end of things.
Yeah.
And it's just because of how the beans are.
But is that a testament, though, to how the public's flavor profiles, like the roast profiles that they buy, is now changing, too? Because you got to think, like, mm-hmm. Starbucks, I mean, you talked about how back in 2014 that you already saw them doing reserves.
Yeah.
Reserves really is their way and steps towards trying to get back some of the money that they were losing to, like, let's say Stumptown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where they were like, oh my gosh, like the money's
stuff.
Yeah. Because we're losing money. I mean, I think that, if anything, shows you a testament to where, and do you think their reserves is roasted as dark as their Pike's Place? You know?
I mean, it's probably
roasted lighter, yeah. I would assume, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're probably getting the same, you know, green bean suppliers,
mm-hmm.
but they're just roasting it differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I totally see where you're going with it. And it's, yeah, with darker roasts, you don't see it. It's not highlighted. It's not to say that it's not, you know, desired with, you know, a good amount of population. And this is what a lot of I've been getting into when it comes to roasting.
Yeah.
There's a market designed for everybody with coffee.
Yeah.
And it starts off definitely at the green bean.
Yeah.
What the farmers are trying to sell and what they need to sell. That's mm-hmm. been something that has been highlighted, because a lot of things that I had preconceptions on, which is, oh, like the farmers are selling like this, like this super high quality AA, you know, grade qualities of beans, but I totally don't realize what the other side of the spectrum is that
yeah.
farmers actually really need. That's such a small percentage of what they actually sell.
Yeah.
And that's not really what's gonna fully help them out when it comes to, you know, providing for the farm and the agriculture and stuff like that. That's something completely different. But you have these super bad quality beans that
yeah.
they still need to sell in order to make a profit.
Well, I'm not going to try to like leave anybody high and dry here.
Yeah.
But I will say, you're well aware of who our roaster is, right? For
mm-hmm.
drip coffee as well as our espresso.
Yes.
Okay. I know guys who worked for that company,
mm-hmm.
right? And they told me, and I know the guy whose roommate was the head roaster before
yeah.
he left.
Okay.
They tell me that, okay, yes, you have to technically, like, well, again, you nowadays people like slap labels on anything to be able to sell it for a higher price. I mean, that's called business. I mean,
yes.
people
yeah.
slap... Like, I swear to you, dude, we will slap organic on, like, beans,
oh, yeah.
you know, just to, like, sell at a higher price. But,
oh, yeah, I remember
yeah, like,
that.
Oh, it's whole grain. It's like, what are you talking about, dude?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about coffee right now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, like, there's no gluten in it. You know, gluten-free.
Gluten-free, dude, that was
yeah.
a huge market.
Yeah, you know, but I think what's interesting is one of the one of the arguments my friend made,
okay,
especially after his roommate was put in a position where they were getting cheap beans. They're trying to start up. It was when that roaster was first taking off. Like they first started this company in the coffee roasting side of this business that I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. He told me that really the best roaster is the one who can take, like you just said, lower quality beans but make it taste better.
Okay.
Because he knew that where they were sourcing their green beans from was cheap. Mm-hmm. It was one of the cheapest ones. Mm-hmm. Like, and the reason why they need to keep it cheap, because again, they're going to have to sell it to us cheap. It's a new roaster. New roasters, if they don't have named, like, oh, the roaster who was roasting for, like, the 2019 winner of coffee, you know, or, like, they're, you know, people who are unknown.
Yes.
They have to then sell it to us at a cheaper price, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In order to make profit, in order to grow a business like that, that means you need to be, your input needs to be cheaper. However, the coffees that we're trying doesn't taste that different than a bean that's higher quality at the start. We had to pay more for, you know, and, you know, is that that is that really what the best roasters are known for? Is it them being able to transform something that might have been the best? Yeah. And I know that kind of goes against what I said before, that roasters are really just preserving. Mm-hmm. But is that an argument? Yeah, is basically what I'm asking you. Totally. Is that the roaster who's able to preserve what little flavor is there and still give, at the end of the day, a roasted bean that we can use in a specialty coffee shop?
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, okay, so, and I can't remember if that guy actually had just the, like, the restrictions.
When you say restrictions, are you talking about, like, roast profiles?
He was restricted by, like, the owner to only, like...
Source? Like, are you talking about sourcing? Yeah. So, oh, 100%.
Yeah,
no,
right?
No, because... Obviously, the roaster knew what he was doing because he was making decent beans, right? But the problem came down to the owner obviously is in the business to make money. I don't think any owner goes into business to lose money, right?
For
so
sure, right.
Obviously, he's like, all right, we need to find some way where we can sell people beans, still make a profit, but we're going to have to sell people, since we're a new business, super cheap and give them a lot of deals. And yet that roaster was like, all right, you gave me XYZ of money to deal with in order for me to source beans and roast and try to make
quantity as well.
Yeah.
Quantity plays a huge role after learning about, you know, purchasing futures and storing. That's something else. But going back to that, I think one, it does kind of suck because it's like, you're given, you know, super small budget and you have these aspirations, or you have, like, you know what you're doing. And so, you put it into something that might be low quality. But if you're able to produce something that is just as good as something that is, that you bought from wholesale green bean, somebody else roasted that and roasted it. You're still able to make something that was so much better.
Of course
that's like an infinitely better situation for the owner, but I think it could tire somebody out if you're not able to expand, experiment, and play around with, you know, something that you really enjoy doing.
Well, I could tell you right now that a majority of roasters right now, because it kind of goes back to my episode I just did, because when we go buy a bag of coffee, I said one of the questions you really got to start understanding is, who's the roaster? Like, what roaster are you buying coffee from? Because roasters are going to have a roast profile that they're going to stick to because they know their customers enjoy that roast profile, right? It can be a ton of different beans, tons of different beans from all these different origins. However, they're... You know what's so funny? They can take an Ethiopian, they can take a geisha, right? And just by roasting it poorly, they can make it taste like, you know...
And that's what's so
Starbucks.
Sad. Yeah.
But they're forced to, because I'm sure if they understand coffee, they know, you know, like, hey, I have a flavor and we have to do the same thing as baristas, but I'm going to focus on roasters right now.
Okay, go
ahead. Like, we know what flavors we like. We know flavors and how to get to that flavor that we want. Mm-hmm. However, end of the day, it's a business. What do our customers enjoy? Yeah. What roast profile do I have to roast to in order to satisfy our customers? Like, you know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
I totally
at a certain point, like, I 100% agree. I wish that more roasters would roast to what they want to drink, because I bet you, for us people who are like in the industry, it would be an awesome experience to taste.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? To some degree, like roasters over at Onyx, roasters at Cat and Cloud, you know, roasters at Madcap, roasters at Ona Coffee, you know, they're able, and they've made a name for themselves and shown that, like, hey, we can make award-winning coffees, roast award-winning coffees, and still make a great profit off of it. And our roasters are still able to explore and really have full reign. However, smaller, you know,
it's difficult to get there.
Oh, it's almost impossible to get there, because I'm going to bring up like Bangarang Coffee, for example. The roasters over at Bangarang, okay, two of them, right? Noah and Travis, they're for sure. They, I mean, they legitimately are award winning. They were head roasters over at Clutch Coffee.
Yes.
That eventually went and started their own thing because they felt restricted.
Yeah.
However, they roasted award-winning coffee. Majority, every single one of their coffees won some sort of like Golden Bean Award, which is an award that's more regionalized because obviously it's easier for them to submit it. They would get gold, silver, bronze, like every single one of them.
Yeah.
They couldn't make it though. Okay? They couldn't make it. You know why? Because the people they tried selling to, you know, didn't have the appreciation for that roast profiles.
Yeah.
They weren't looking for that. They're looking for like the roaster that we have on right now, which is more approachable.
Yes, I know.
You know,
that's the thing that I guarantee you every roaster barista battles with.
Yeah.
Who is into specialty coffee.
Yeah.
Because they know that there's something so much more, and they love it, and they have a passion for it. But there's this huge, broad spectrum of what customers, you know, who customers are and what they like.
Yeah.
You have the people who just love Diners, Folgers, cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have the people who will spend $60+ for a bag of coffee because they appreciate that.
Yeah.
And there's so much more of a story behind that, right?
Yeah.
With the farms, with the, you know, giving back to third world countries and everything that's behind the pricing of that coffee. But a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that I've been realizing more and more getting into roasting, being in specialty coffee, is there needs to be a market for all of that.
Yeah.
And that's because of, a lot of it is because of what the farmers need to sell.
Yeah.
They need to sell those low, low grade coffees that are turned into pre-ground coffees that you buy in stores.
Yeah.
They need to sell those things.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And so there needs to be a market for that.
Yeah.
And so the thing that I've been understanding a lot more, because I have definitely been that person that's like, no, specialty, it's like the best thing. You need to, like, you know, get to this point, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've slowly packed out from that and be like, there needs to be a market for all this. There needs to be to provide for the farmers to keep coffee going and preserve where it can be at.
Yeah.
It's carried because of the traditional roast, the dark roasts, the ground up coffee that has led it to become what it is. You can't just cut all of that off.
Yeah. No, I mean, I still 100% agree with you. Like, and I don't think that stuff will ever die, just because, like, you know what? The Frappuccino is always going to be around.
Yeah.
And it takes coffee to make a Frappuccino, surprisingly or not, you know?
Right, yeah.
So if coffee's being used there, that's coffee beans being used there. Therefore, you know, that's a farmer who just got paid.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we should ever take that away, you know? Mm-hmm. There's for sure, like, the best way to put it is there's always going to be a need for Denny's. You know, there's always going to be a need for cheap diner food.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but there's always a place for fine dining, you know. I don't think, and I told, you know, Chris McCall this, because obviously we have a lot of discussions. And it's just like one of those things where I don't think dark roasts should ever go. You know, mm-hmm. there's something about traditional coffee that I don't think should ever move. Like, mm-hmm. I talked about, like, I mean, people in Ethiopia are still making coffee they did how many years ago at the yeah. origin of coffee, yeah, yeah. you know? Yeah. And I think there's something, again, let's talk about preservation. You mm-hmm. should preserve the traditions, okay? Yes. Because it really shows, okay, where we started. There's a reason why it started.
Yeah.
Because it was decent into where mm-hmm. we're at, like, obviously now and where we're gonna be in the future.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it should ever be removed. And yeah, 100%. I think we're all working to ensure that where the origins of all of the beans that we use on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. that those people who are really working the hardest are getting paid. And I think that's great that, I mean, even bigger companies are starting to ensure that, you know, the farmers are getting paid right.
Yeah.
You know, to some degree, like, because, yeah. you know, when I heard things like Nestle was buying out
Blue Bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. I got nervous because I was like, I hope that with their resources, they're still going to keep good connections, good mm-hmm. ties, and, you know, fair trade. You
above
know,
fair trade.
Above fair trade. Yeah. Yeah. Above fair trade. You know, that's so sad that we have to, like, try to shoot for fair trade at a point,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I know that all of us within the industry are working hard to ensure that, mm-hmm. and that comes from, A, us charging more for people who come in to buy more expensive coffee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that sucks that, like, for a latte right now with alternative milk, it's, like, going to be, like, $5 to $6.
$6, yeah.
But we're charging that much to ensure that all the way down the chain, all the way back mm-hmm. down to the farmers who are mm-hmm. really working the hardest out of all of us, yeah. like, let's be honest, are getting paid for that.
Yeah.
You know, I think yeah. through education, and yeah. it shows, we are still able to charge $5 to $6. Mm-hmm. And that shows, and people are okay with us charging $5 to $6, shows yeah. that there is a better appreciation.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to, you know, if we don't continue through, like, platforms like this, mm-hmm. if we don't continue, like, through platforms like Sprudge or the SCAA, you know, yes. like, it's, we're never going to reach that point where these farmers are really getting taken care of,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, because people, yeah, wouldn't really understand what it does take for them to have that cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And... yeah, and that's what I've been starting to really fall in love with coffee.
Yeah.
Is that background of the farmer, of the effort that it takes, and the appreciation that you could have.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own specific appreciation.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about all the different things that we have in this world. Coffee is just one of them for me.
Yeah.
I have that appreciation because I've understood it.
Yeah.
And until somebody, and not everybody has to appreciate
yeah.
to the level of what I
have
or mm-hmm. you have. But if there is that person that does and is intrigued of it,
mm-hmm.
I would love to bring them along with that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's something that is extraordinary and is something that I think is necessary
yeah.
with coffee.
All right. And just quickly, because I think this is a good place to kind of, like, end on, yeah. I would say, do you have, like, any last bit of advice for those people who, like you just said, I would love to take you on this journey
yeah.
that got you to where you're at now? What words of advice would you give them, you know, in regards to them starting out this journey? Or yeah. if they just started off, to keep pushing on, mm-hmm. what would you say to them?
Yeah. I think the thing that I would say is, with anything that is new, if you're ever wanting to go into something that is different, something that you haven't had before, you have to have an open mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the biggest of an open mind when I was having that cupping in Starbucks.
Yeah.
But having an open mind when you're wanting something new, if this is something that you haven't experienced yet,
yeah.
the specialty side of coffee, have that open-mindedness.
Yeah.
Have the willingness to learn and just ask questions.
Yeah.
I guarantee you the barista would love to yeah. talk about those things. I guarantee
yeah.
you, mm-hmm. you'll probably go back home with something free.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, I know.
Like, the fact that coffee shops are just an amazing place to have conversation and to learn things and to have a nice ease of an atmosphere, I think it's something that if you're there, ask. If you're there, have an open mind,
mm-hmm.
and take a different route. Try something new.
Yeah, like not be afraid. Take that leap of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, again, I couldn't have said it better myself, man. I 100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. That's why this whole podcast is made, really, for those people who are kind of at that edge and need that little extra push, mm-hmm. coming from the people from behind the bar. So again, dude, yeah. Corey, thank you so much for your time. You. Yeah. Thank you for, you know, giving us your insight through your own story. So yeah, again, it's truly like the most valuable piece of information that we could put out there. So again, thank you for your time, man.
Thanks.
For all of you guys listening, definitely keep tuning in to The Occasional Barista. Again, follow us on Instagram. We're working on the YouTube videos still to this day, but I promise you they will eventually be out. For all of you guys who have any questions, or especially previous guests as well as Corey, please DM or comment on The Occasional Barista. I'm in direct touch with these people so I can get those questions answered. Until then, please keep on the lookout. We still have exciting guests coming up, and stay safe out there.